May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1098. O God of mercy, hear my call, my load of guilt remove. Break down this separating wall that bars me from thy love. 1098.
Let us read together Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be for ever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume. Into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I've seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. May the Lord bless the reading of that portion of his sacred word to our souls, and grant us now the Holy Spirit's aid in prayer. Most holy and eternal, ever merciful Lord God, do look down in mercy now upon this little company of poor needy sinners who have been favoured to gather in thy house once more. And we pray that thou wilt come in thine infinite mercy and gather with us this night, and cause thy voice to be heard in this place and thy presence known and felt. For Lord, thou knowest we come poor and needy, in and of ourselves destitute of all that is good. And Lord, we have nothing to bring to thee, thou knowest, for all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But Lord, we come this night in all our sinfulness and wretchedness, seeking to cast our all upon thee, upon thy mercy, venturing to plead the precious name of Jesus, his blood, his righteousness, his perfect atonement for our acceptance. Oh Lord, may we know feelingly in our soul's experience this night that we have been made accepted in the Beloved. Oh, leave none to come short or to be deceived. For Lord, we have a deceitful heart. It's desperately wicked. Lord, indeed, within us, within our flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But oh, we come this night, seeking that thou wilt come in thine infinite mercy and break the bread of life to our souls. For Lord, thou knowest those hungering and thirsting souls before thee, those who are longing to hear thy voice, longing to know that deliverance wrought out by the dear Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary in their own soul's experience that they cannot rest, Lord, until they know that all their sins have been forgiven. And Lord, it's how we come this night. Oh, do grant to us another token, another seal of thy love and mercy to us, a sweet manifestation of a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer. For truly it is thee we desire to know. Lord, we come with that petition upon our lips. Jesus, reveal thyself to me. We're unworthy, thou knowest. But Lord, thou hast said thou wilt be inquired of the house of Israel to do these things for them. And Lord, thou knowest how we've gathered, the burden and exercise of our souls, the troubles, the perplexities, the tribulations, those things that are before us. Lord, thou knowest how we need thee. O gracious God, come and visit souls this night. Lift our beggars from the dunghill of self and sin and all that is of the creature. Deliver, Lord, those who are resting upon a form of religion. O Lord, might it please thee, they'll open their ears to hear the gospel in their soul's experience. And Lord, we pray for those fearing, trembling souls who fear to presume, and yet within their poor hearts there is that longing desire after Christ, to know him, to lay hold of him, and to believe in him. Lord, thou knowest how we need thee constantly. But, O Lord, how often we have to come before thee, thou knowest, with that desire, hold up our goings in thy paths, that our footsteps slip not, and leave us not to lean to our own understanding. Lord, we pray then that we will fall at thy feet, seeking to we maybe know that real repentance, that true confession of sin. For thou hast said, if we confess our sins, thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. O precious truth, Lord, may we know the blessed reality and power of it in our souls this night, if it could please thee. Lord, that we may know feelingly that word, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. Lord, that is our only hope. We've nowhere else to go, but it is to the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, plunge us in that crimson ocean, thy atonement made for sin. For thou hast made that way for poor needy sinners. Thou hast gone before thy people. Lord, we pray that as we desire to be humble followers on, seeking to know thee, O Lord, we pray that we might know those going forth of those precious truths of the gospel in our own hearts. May they be as fresh as the morning and as the latter and former rain upon the earth. Lord, we pray for each one that is gathered this night. The dear young friends, Lord, we would especially bear them before thee, and seek that thou wilt watch over them in this wicked and sinful world, The solemn enticements of the enemy to their souls, especially in their youthful days. Preserve them in thy fear, we pray, and might it please thee to work mightily in their hearts, in the days of their youth, they may be found humble seekers after thee, out of a fell sense of their need of thee and thy great salvation. Lord, we pray that, oh, that thy powerful work might be known and felt in the hearts of the young, that there yet may be an ingathering of precious souls. Lord, as thou dost take one and another to thyself, few lambs appear in the fold, but Lord, thou knowest them that are thine. For the foundation of God standeth sure, having that seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. But oh, may we none of us be left to rest until we know it experimentally in our soul's experience that we have been bought with that infinite price paid by the dear Lord Jesus Christ in Gethsemane and at Calvary, that we belong to that dear Saviour, and that we are found in possession of a good hope through grace, founded upon the finished work of Jesus. Lord, we pray for the spiritual prosperity of this little church and congregation. We thank thee for what thou hast done here in recent years, and Lord, oh, may the word oftentimes prosper as this precious gospel is set forth continually from this pulpit. Lord, that souls may be truly blessed and brought to render praise and honour and glory unto thee for the wonders of thy grace revealed to poor, needy sinners. Lord, we pray for those that carry the responsibility here and seek that thou remember them in much mercy, one far away in another land. Be with him and his dear one, Lord, as they journey. And oh, might it please in thy time, thy way, thou will bring them back in peace and safety, they may gather here once more with thy people. Lord, do grant to each one of the deacons thy upholding grace, that spirit of discernment in all those things that concern thy house here at Swavesey. Lord, we pray for all thy people. Thou knowest where they are, the paths they walk in, the trials, the troubles, the afflictions, the temptations. Lord, they're all known to thee, for hast thou not appointed them for their spiritual profit and thy honour and glory? And Lord, we pray that that may be manifested in the day in which we live. Lord, may these paths that we're called to walk in be sanctified to us. Lord, that it may prove to be for our spiritual profit. But Lord, that song of praise may be found upon our lips, a desire to render praise and honour and glory unto our God. We pray for all thy true sent servants. Thou knowest where they're labouring this night. Remember them in much mercy. Lord, be with each one. Stand by them. And may the word be a living word to living souls. And Lord, that there may be that spiritual prosperity known and felt. And yet, Lord, as we view the solemn state in our nation, in our own little denomination, how low we are, but oh Lord, how sinful our nation is. Oh, the wickedness that abounds, so freely displayed, that is such an abomination in thy sight. Oh Lord, what can we say? We have sinned greatly against thee, and done that which is evil in thy sight. And Lord, we are ripe for thy solemn judgments, for thy word declares it. Oh, that this may be truly realized in our own poor hearts, they may be brought to truly mourn over the sins of this nation. Lord, that thou yet appear for the sake of thy remnant, of thy great name's sake, that there may be yet be a turning again unto thee, thy way and thy truth. Lord, these are great things we ask. We are unworthy of it, for this once favoured land has solemnly desecrated thy day, walked contrary to thee. Yet, Lord, might it please thee to hear the groans, the cries of thy remnant, that thou wilt yet have mercy. Lord, we pray for our own little denomination, and we see, Lord, the solemnity or the condition in which we are found. Lord, thou knowest how few gather in thy earthly courts, how little seems to be done. Lord, there's a great withholding of the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, thy servants know it and feel it. The absence of that power in the preaching of the word and the hearing of the word. And is there not a cause? Lord, art thou not hiding thy face from us on account of our many sins and transgressions? For truly, Lord, our sins testify against us, and our backslidings are many. But Lord, thou art still the hope of Israel, a saviour in time of trouble. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt yet appear amongst the churches, the Lord, that yet there yet may be a lengthening of the cords, a strengthening of the stakes, and a flowing out from the right hand and on the left of souls wrought upon and brought to testify of thy love and mercy. Lord, we would not multiply words before thee, for thou knowest our great need, our own felt poverty and ignorance. But Lord, do come and fill our seed basket, we pray, and may the word this night in this thy house be a living word to living souls, that there may be something wrought, not only for time, but for eternity, and souls blessed. Lord, we would thank thee for all thy mercies and favours bestowed upon us. How many are those blessings? How great are those favours? And Lord, we would seek to be given a heart of true gratitude. And now as we turn to thy word, to open it up to our understanding. Deliver us, Lord, each one of us, from the enemy to our souls. Deliver us, Lord, from a wandering mind. And oh, might it please thee to draw near and grant us to us that fixedness of heart, set upon a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer, through whom all the gospel blessings flow to poor sinners. do pardon now all our many, many sins, as we ask these petitions in the name and for the sake of the Lord Jesus alone. Amen.
Hymn number 92. Who is this fair one in distress that travels from this wilderness, oppressed with sorrows and with sins, on her beloved Lord she leans. Hymn 92.
Thank you.
the word that rests upon my spirit to bring before you this evening as the Lord will enable me. You'll find in the psalm that we read, Psalm 37, and the first part of verse 7. Psalm 37, and the first part of verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. We have throughout God's holy word that clear, distinct division between the righteous and the wicked. The Lord Jesus Christ himself so often dwelt upon it. Those whom God set his love upon in eternity past, and those to whom the Lord had no favour and made no choice of before the creation of this world, that distinction between the righteous and the wicked. We find it throughout God's holy word. We find it in the first psalm, the good man and the man who walked contrary to God's ways. We have it in this psalm, as we have before us there, before us now, those workers of iniquity and those who loved their God. We have the distinction so clearly set forth in this psalm, and the psalm begins, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." You see, the path of the Lord's people is very, very different to those who walk in their own sins, never knowing anything of a work of grace in their heart, never knowing their need of a Saviour. We find throughout this little psalm how God's people, the righteous, looked upon the wicked. They saw their prosperity. They saw how easy their way seemed to be. And then, looking within our own paths, our own hearts, if we're a child of God, we should know that we are amongst those who know trials, troubles, and afflictions which the Lord sees fit to bring upon us. My dear friend, there is that one of those distinctive marks between the righteous and the wicked. Those who are content with the dying things of this world seek to derive their satisfaction from it, and have no real heartfelt desire to know this dear Saviour. We see we may sit in the Lord's house and hear the gospel preached, because it is we've been brought up from our youth, and we wouldn't be anywhere else on the Sabbath day or when the doors were opened, and yet to know nothing of the reality of true religion, to know and know nothing of the precious truths of the gospel, almost careless and indifferent as to whether we have an interest in these great things or not. My dear friend, how solemn it is to be brought up under the sound of the gospel all our lives, yet to know nothing of the reality of it, the blessedness of it, indeed the truth of it, which all of the Lord's people will know. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, we read in God's holy word, it is through much tribulation ye must enter the kingdom. And that's one of those marks of a child of God, because they know it to be a path of tribulation. They know the afflictions. They know the trials. But also, my dear friend, they're brought under the Holy Spirit to know the blessings that flow from those paths which are so opposite to our nature, but so beneficial to our soul's experience. And so we find in this psalm, it refers to the righteous viewing the wicked. Perhaps, he said, the exhortation is this: Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You see, the wicked have their portion in this world. They derive some carnal pleasure to satisfy their sinful lusts while they walk in this world here below. But how different it is to a child of God. Their portion is in another place. That their portion is in heaven. And in the path that the Lord appoints for his people here, it is in the preparation for that place that they will one day occupy when they're called from time to eternity to be forever with their Lord and Saviour. Be not thou envious against the workers of iniquity. And so we have in this psalm gracious exhortations, and it is, as we read them, that vital necessity to possess true living faith. And that is, when a child of God is brought, quickened into divine life, brought to know their sinnership, brought to mourn over those sins, to confess those sins, and to come to God in that wretched state they feel to be, acknowledging their guilt, that those sins have been against a kind and gracious God, with a plea upon our lips for mercy. It's the path, the well-trodden path, of all of the Lord's people, because if we are amongst them, my dear friend, we shall have revealed to us by the Holy Spirit what sinners we are and how destitute we are of all that is good. Unless God has mercy upon us, our souls will perish forever. Has the Lord shown it to you? Has he caused you to feel it? Does it trouble you? My dear friend, if the Lord begins a work of grace in your heart and my heart, there'll be much trouble felt in our hearts. Some walk in deeper paths than others, but they're all brought to see this, that God is an infinitely holy God, and we are defiled throughout by sin, and sin is abhorrent in his sight. But you see, the Lord has a purpose of love and mercy to those who are brought to know these precious truths, and to be graciously concerned, because it'll have an effect. And the effect will be this, that the dear Holy Spirit will give to you and me a spirit of real prayer. Oh, we mutter many formal words in prayer, don't we, dear friend? How much of our petitions are real, wrought in the heart by the Holy Spirit? How many of them are heartfelt desires? Not many. But my dear friend, if the Lord is working in your heart and mine, he'll bring us to know these truths, and will bring us to see what our sins deserve, and that cry will come forth from our hearts, pleading with God that he'd have mercy upon us. We cannot see how that mercy can come. But plead we will and plead we must, because we view the scene in eternity and where we shall spend eternity. And those who are out of Christ, to them God will be a consuming fire. And so that child of God is led and taught by the Holy Spirit to mourn over their sins, and led to see where salvation alone is found, in a precious Saviour, a dear Redeemer, the one who came into this world to stand in the sinner's room and place instead, and suffer the punishment due to them for their sins. He shed his blood to atone for their sins. He lived a perfect life in complete obedience to God's holy law. A perfect life. A perfect sacrifice. A perfect atonement. That death which God demanded in that covenant of works must be fulfilled. And Jesus died that his dear people might live eternally. And these wondrous truths are revealed to that poor, needy sinner, to see that here alone is the ground of their hope, and must be the foundation of their faith, what Christ is and what he has done for their never dying souls. And so the Lord brings his people, little by little, to know these truths. He brings us into afflictions, trials and troubles. Why? To humble us, to deliver us from all this self-love that we have, self-confidence, self-assurance. My dear friend, it's all in each one of our hearts by nature. But the Lord will bring us away from it all. Because if the Lord is going to dwell in your poor heart and mine, he'll have all our heart. Not part, not most, but all our hearts. And so he brings us down first, prepares us for those rich blessings that he determined his dear people will receive in his time and in his way. But this humbling work, my dear friend, is painful to the flesh. And it'll bring us with many cries to the throne of grace, for the Lord to come and appear for us in our trouble and distress. And to, with that faith in exercise in our heart, to truly believe that he is able to do far more than ever we can ask or even think. And to whatever the trial or trouble and affliction we're in, there's nothing beyond the power of God that cannot deliver you and me if it is his holy will. You see how the Lord so lovingly and graciously brings us down to prepare us for those rich blessings that he has determined shall be yours and mine, if we're a child of God. Now in those paths the Lord appoints for his people, there is that which you and I are going to learn. Many things we're going to learn. We're going to learn more of ourselves, more and more of what is in our own hearts, and realize increasingly the awfulness of sin, and to see that those sins indeed must be great. That God, a holy God, should demand justice, and that justice could only be accomplished and satisfied through the sufferings and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we are brought to see these things, my dear friend, our hearts will be drawn after a precious Christ with that desire, Jesus reveal thyself to me. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour thou bearest unto thy people, and visit me with thy salvation. They must know these things. They cannot rest until they have the assurance of it in their heart, that they are born of God and that their treasure is above. Well, you may say, well, what have these things to do with the text that we have before us tonight? Well, my dear friend, everything. Because you see, if the Lord is leading and teaching and instructing you and me, it'll make us more and more dependent upon the dear Lord Jesus to supply our every need, our daily need. We have many enemies to our souls, both within and without. We have the devil, who isn't very far away. And oh, especially in those early days in the spiritual experience of the Lord's people. Oh, how he seeks to distress that seeking one. That one who is feeling after the Lord, longing to know him. And as the devil with his evil insinuations, now he orchestrates the circumstances that whereby we're faced with those conditions which so suit our besetting sins. And he knows them. And my dear friend, it causes that soul to tremble much. It brings them to cry unto the Lord to appear for them. The devil, my dear friend, will trouble the Lord's people right down to their dying day. You see, he knows they're not his. He knows they've been taken from him. He knows they belong to a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer. And so he'll do his best to bring us into deep distress from time to time. Oh, he's a liar from there, and ever has been. But my dear friend, God is the keeper of his saints. He preserves them by his power. And you know, the child of God is brought to realize it and feel it, their need of that preservation as they journey through this wilderness here below. Has not that cry come forth from your heart? Lord, keep me. Lord, preserve me. Lead me not to wander and stray. The desires of a living soul. Well, in the paths of the Lord's people, as they walk in paths of troubles and trials, you may be in those trials now, and you fear and tremble as to what the outcome will be. And you wonder as you look back and reflect, and we do, over our past life. We realize how great our sins are and how we do not deserve that the Lord should regard us. But you know, my dear friend, I believe that adds to the intensity of the desire flowing from our hearts, conscious of what we are and what we have been. But nevertheless, the cry to the Lord, that he'd appear for us, that he'd come and deliver us, that he'd come and remove that weight, that burden that we carry upon our hearts. Well, my dear friend, the Lord has recorded gracious exhortations in his word for an encouragement to these souls. We have a sweet cluster of precious promises in this chapter. We have many exceeding great and precious promises in God's holy word. And how many there are in the prophecy of Isaiah. Oh, these are the shalls and wills of the everlasting covenant, which is so precious to the Lord's people. We have then this exhortation to these souls who are burdened Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust in the Lord. That's the exercise of faith. The exercise of faith, my dear friend, we may have mentioned it to you before, but it has, there are four parts, as it were. We must have a knowledge of Christ. We must be found in possession and to believe the truth of the gospel. That child of God is brought to trust alone in a precious Saviour, a dear Redeemer. And they know the comfort and the blessings in their own soul's experience when they are brought to being able to rest in the dear Lord Jesus. Trust in the Lord, and thou shalt dwell in the land. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Now, my dear friend, I know not your circumstances, but beloved friend, if the Lord brings you and he causes you to hear this word in your poor heart, you may not see how you can be delivered. You know not what is before you. But you know one thing. If you and I are enabled by faith to rest in the Lord Jesus, to trust alone in him, to bring us safely through, my dear friend, it'll be this, to cast all our cares upon him, believing that he careth for us. Rest in the Lord. And it is especially this word that has so dwelt upon my spirit. What is it to rest in the Lord? My dear friend, it's this. We shall be brought to see this, to see that God is a merciful God, a kind and gracious God. We have many testimonies of it in God's holy word, of those characters whom the Lord has had mercy upon, walking in great and dark and trying paths. We think of Job, we think of Jonah. Oh, what deep paths those characters walked in, my dear friend. But they all cried unto the Lord in their troubles. They were brought to truly rest in the Lord and to wait upon him. He is a merciful God. It's to rest in his mercy, believing that he does hear the cries of poor sinners. Not because we cry, my dear friend, it's because he has determined that that cry should come forth from your heart and mine, to making you, having made, been made conscious of that need of that mercy, and to look to that source where that mercy can only come through Jesus Christ. And you'll come pleading with God for mercy, pleading the Saviour's precious name, his blood, his righteousness, for your acceptance, to rest in the Lord. My dear friend, it's to rest then in his mercy. It's to rest too in his love. God set his love upon his dear people from eternity past, and chose them in a precious Saviour, a dear Redeemer. He chose them because he set his love upon them to manifest the precious truths of the gospel to their souls, but to redeem their souls from hell. But for this one grand purpose, and let us remember this, in all the Lord's dealings with a child of God, God has one glorious purpose that he will have fulfilled. And what is that? My dear friend, we walk in that path. We want deliverance. But you know, the Lord has a greater purpose than that. It is that you and I might render praise and honour and glory unto his great and holy name for the wonders of his love and mercy to our souls. That's the purpose. And you know, if you're a child of God and the Lord has heard your poor cries and delivered you out of those deep distresses, those troubles that you were walking in, now you felt to be at the extremity of the earth and you feared your poor soul would perish forever. And the Lord so sweetly drew near and filled your heart with his love and mercy toward you. And you knew that you were delivered from that, but it was that burden of sin which you felt as you cried for mercy. And the Lord removed that guilt from your poor heart, pouring in the oil and the wine of the gospel, that burden removed, and you saw and had a glimpse of how it was removed in a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer, as he suffered and bled and died and shed and stood in our room and place, that our poor souls might go free eternally. And when the Lord comes and visits your poor soul, my dear friend, there'll be a song of praise upon your lips. You'll bless him for it. Oh, my dear friend, it's one of the sweetest moments in the experience of a child of God when the Lord comes and visits that soul and shows them that their interest in a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer, that those sins, so black, so vile, so great, have been put away forever at Calvary. On such love, my soul still ponder, love so great, so rich, so free, resting in the love of the dear Lord Jesus. And my dear friend, I believe a child of God is brought to see that love. They don't understand. It's a deep, deep mystery. But there's a spirit of praise and gratitude upon their lips that he, in eternity past, he singled such a sinner out to be the object of his love. Not because there was anything attractive in you and me. There never could be. We are defiled throughout by sin. But thereby he displays the wonders of his grace, of his heavenly choice of his dear people, to magnify his great and holy name, resting in his love. Resting in his faithfulness. God is a faithful God. And the Lord's people were brought to know and feel it experimentally. You know, if the Lord has given to you a precious promise, he will fulfill it. He must fulfill it. He's faithful to his word. We read, don't we? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And if the Lord has given you a precious word, a promise, it may be many years ago, and it may seem to be so clouded today. And oh, how oftentimes your poor heart is overwhelmed with fear lest you've been deceived. Because the devil will tell you that if you don't come to that conclusion in your own carnal reason yourself. And oh, you feel so low. But my dear friend, the Lord knows your case. He knows your condition. And you know, the Lord is bringing you and me into such paths to bring us to his feet. And in his time, he'll come and fulfill that precious promise. And oh, and then you'll know he is a faithful God. You can say, you've proved it. Can we say that? Can we look back at those things that the Lord has promised and that he has fulfilled? When the Lord, I humbly trust, sent me into the ministry, he gave me a most precious promise, a promise that one has to complete every time one gets into the pulpit. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And my dear friend, he's been faithful to his word, and will be, I believe, right down the end of one's life. He is faithful, the promised. My dear friend, he will have a faithful God. And what God has declared in his word must be fulfilled. You know, there's a solemn thought too. Those solemn threatenings the Lord gives to the wicked. Their warnings that are passed unheeded. Mocked, probably. My dear friend, they'll prove that those threatenings, when they're fulfilled, then they'll prove that he is faithful to his word. But you know, it's precious to a child of God. God is faithful. God's love toward his people is from everlasting to everlasting. He has said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Rest in the Lord. That great sacrifice of the dear Lord Jesus Christ, when a child of God is brought to see their interest in that salvation work accomplished in Gethsemane and at Calvary, then, my dear friend, thou rest in the work of the dear Lord Jesus Christ and live by faith in him, to rest in a precious Saviour, a dear Redeemer, what he is and what he has done. We could go on, my dear friend, but oh, a child of God is brought to rest alone in their Lord and Saviour, to trust alone in what God has promised and will perform, and to believe and will prove in their time and in God's time the fulfilment of those precious words that he has given to us. Rest in the Lord. The trial that you're in now, take heed to this word. Rest in the Lord. There's comfort there. There's peace there. And there's assurance there as the Lord brings us to trust alone in him and cast our all upon God's mercy in Jesus Christ. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Waiting is the exercise of faith. And the Lord's people, in their spiritual experiences, will find much of their spiritual exercises in waiting. Waiting. You see, it's the trial of our faith which is much more precious than of gold that perishes. And the Lord will have us walk in those paths and brought to wait and trust alone in him. You see, this is one of those tests, isn't it? It's the trial of our faith, to the reality of our faith. If that faith is not real, my dear friend, we shall soon find we shall give up and we shall go on our own way. But if the Lord has given to you true living faith, it'll be in constant exercise every day, because we shall feel our need of him and to see that we cannot do without him. every step that we walk in here below, it will be with that desire in our hearts, looking unto Jesus, waiting patiently for him to come. Are you waiting tonight? What are you waiting for, beloved friend? Perhaps you say, well, my poor soul longs for another visit from the dear Saviour. It seems so long when I felt his love in my poor heart. And oh, I longed for the Lord to come. And yet you find within us, we do find it, our poor hearts full of unbelieving fears, left to ourselves. We find a distrust in what things that God has spoken rising up within our hearts. And oh, what a burden and an exercise it is. But my dear friend, the Lord uses this way often to empty us continually. And we need to be. Of all that is religion which is of the flesh, of ourself and the creature, all this of a form, all that legality which is found within us when we are left to ourselves, that legal observance of the things that God's commands, my dear friend, we shall have to be delivered from all that. It's to this. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. And that's where you and I will be brought, to look alone to a precious Christ, through whom and by whose sufferings and his death and his resurrection, that those rich blessings that he does bestow upon his people come to each one of them through Jesus Christ. The hymn writer puts it like this: every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' precious blood. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Though the vision tarry, wait for it. It must surely come. And my dear friend, that waiting time is the exercise of faith, because it's this. It makes the dear Saviour more and more precious to us in the longing desire after him. And when he does come, oh, my dear friend, what love is drawn out of your poor heart and mine as you seek to cling and cleave to this a precious Jesus, to see in him all your salvation and all your desire. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Well, dear friend, are we waiting? And what are we waiting for? And how are we waiting? It's when we are graciously exercised, there's a real waiting, not a waiting indifferently, carelessly. My dear friend, these things are not wrought in the heart by the Holy Spirit, they're all of the flesh. It's when we are brought into these straits, isn't it? It's then we feel our need of him. It's then we are found with faith in gracious exercise. Then there is that reaching forth unto a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer. And then your cries come forth from the very depths of your heart as you long for him to come and visit your poor soul. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And you know, a child of God drawing near to the end of the journey is being prepared for their eternal habitation. You know, they're brought, I believe, to this place clearly to see the things of this world they're done with. There's one thing that their mind and thoughts and hearts are centred upon, that time when they're called to leave this world, to be forever with their Lord and Saviour. The object of their desire is a precious Christ. They wait for that call to come, to leave this world and know, to have a good foundation to their faith, a ground to their hope, that when they're called to leave this world, it will be well with their soul, and their prospect is to be forever with the dear Saviour. Well, I leave the word with you, or if the Lord might make it a word of comfort to some poor, troubled, tried soul, and encourage them to go on, to press on, to plead on, my dear friend, you'll not be disappointed. For none shall seek his face in vain. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Amen.
Willing, Mr. Robert Field is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Wheatley next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 804. Ye lambs of Christ's fold, ye weaklings in faith, who long to lay hold on life by his death, who fain would believe him and in your best room would gladly receive him, but fear to presume. Hymn 804.
Dear Lord, do bless thine own word, and pardon all that has been amiss in our worship this evening. But that which has been of thee, do cause it to abide in our hearts, and seal it there by the dear Holy Spirit. Be with us now through the remainder of our little lives here below, and prepare us each for eternity. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all. Amen.